Everybody, today is Thursday, November 19th, 2015. This is Getting Geeky, and I am Miranda Janelle. Now, I just did a TV rundown last night, but then there was just more good stuff, and I want to talk about it. So here I am, two nights in a row. One thing I actually left off last night. Oh, I didn't leave it off. I full on forgot to bring it up. And that is my theory about who Zoom is in The Flash. Now, this isn't a spoiler, but later, well, I don't know. It might be a spoiler if I'm right, but it's just a theory. But just in case.
Arg! Fair warning!
No, you know what? It's not a spoiler. Spoiler? Yeah, that's a word. Oh, hey, Jim. Jim's in the chat. We've got the cat in the chat and the Jim in the chat. Yeah, that's how that works. So, who is Zoom? My theory? It's Barry Allen from Earth 2. We've already seen a couple people that have, let's just call them doppelgangers, from Earth 2, like Linda Park and Dr. Wells. There's been a couple others. So I say, why not Barry? Now, Earth 1 Barry was obsessed with the research of Dr. Wells. He idolized him. You know, he idolized his work. So maybe, just maybe, Earth 2 Barry had that in common. Yeah, we haven't seen Earth 2 Barry yet, so we don't know. Just thinking, you know, maybe they're similar in that regard. And maybe Dr. Wells and Earth 2 Barry actually worked together. And Barry was at Star Labs when they had their equivalent of the explosion that created all of the metas. And that turned Barry into Zoom. It would make for a fun story. And, you know, I'm not the only one who thinks this. I know that for a fact. I was just listening to Fat Man on Batman yesterday, and Kevin Smith threw it out there that he thinks Zoom is Barry as well. He didn't really go into his reasons why, but I gotta say, I feel even better about my little theory, just knowing that Kevin Smith has come to the same conclusion. I think that's awesome. Oh, and another little prediction for The Flash. Ronnie, Caitlin's boyfriend, no, fiance. He's alive on Earth too. Shit, did they actually get married? I think they actually got married. I need to go back and watch that. All right, not important. Let's move on to Star Wars Rebels. And so now, just in case. Oh, now it doesn't want to play. Stupid soundboard.
Arg! Fair warning! There be spoilers ahead, mateys!
Alrighty, let's see. The cat says it's just too predictable if that's the case. That's why I don't think it's Barry. Yeah, I considered that, but there's still a lot that you can do with the story. Just, it does have a feel of it being predictable, but there's a lot that you can do with the story, especially when you're showing a darker side to the character that you wouldn't normally see. I think that's one of the things I like about the Dark Swan on Once Upon a Time, because, you know, Emma Swan is, you know, she's the savior. She's the ultimate embodiment of light magic. You know, the daughter of Snow White and Prince Charming, and yet even she is susceptible to the darkness. It can make for a fun story. So that's why I want to see Zoom being Barry Allen from Earth 2, because I want to see what they do with the story. And everything that I've been seeing from Flash, it'll be entertaining as hell. Anyway, just my little prediction. Star Wars Rebels. We had Season 2, Episode 7, Sisterhood. This is a very Sabine-heavy episode. Sabine, Ezra, and Chopper are sent to escort a courier with vital information to the Rebellion. And I loved it in the opening scene. You know, like they were walking around giving the code word to a whole bunch of people that were looking at them like they were crazy. And then finally, when no one's left, Ezra was sitting on top of a bunch of supplies or whatever. He was sitting on top of a droid. And when they said the code word, the droid popped to life and ta-da! It was the droid all along. You know, perfect little carrier or courier. But then shortly after, Sabine has a run-in with a former associate of hers, Ketsu Anyo, and they actually used to be bounty hunting partners, but they didn't part on good terms when Sabine joined the Rebels. But fortunately, both of them wanted the courier for different reasons, but due to an Imperial entanglement, they had to resolve their differences pretty quickly, and they actually started working together. The thing I liked best about this episode, and frankly, it's something that actually took me out of the episode, but I still enjoyed it. You just can't hide Gina Torres's voice from me. As soon as I heard Ketsu start speaking, immediately just alarm bells firing off in my head. Anna Espinosa, Anna Espinosa, that's Anna Espinosa from Alias, of course. You know, she was great as Zoe in Firefly. Absolutely love that character. But for me, she was in Alias first, and I love Alias. It's what made me Alias and Felicity made me absolutely fall in love with J.J. Abrams. and so I hear Gina Torres, I'm immediately thinking Anna Espinosa. So definitely my favorite part of Star Wars Rebels Season 2, Episode 7, Sisterhood. Guest starring Gina Torres. Awesome. All right, let's jump over to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Crap, I did not put the episode name in my notes. All righty, it is Season 3, Episode 8, Many Heads, One Tale. And tale spelled T-A-L-E. And I like it because this was definitely a storytelling episode. In fact, I found it really... It was a great episode. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Fitz and Simmons had a really nice little conflict because Fitz was just being way, way too awesome about rescuing Simmons's other beau. I believe his name's Will, from the mystery planet that Simmons was on after the obelisk gobbled her up. You know, after they put all of their cards on the table and started to work through some of their issues, they went back to work and made a discovery about the organization that ended up sending Will to the planet. Meanwhile, Ward is going after Gideon Malik, who's portrayed by Powers Booth. You might remember him from Captain America and the Avengers. He's part of the World Council. Turns out he advises the president, and he's actually been working with Rosalind Price, the head of the ACTU. Yep. Anyway, Ward ends up going after him. You know, he's one of the heads of Hydra, and Ward makes it all the way over to him, but ultimately ends up teaming up with him, and he learns more about the history of Hydra in the process. And then while that's all going on, Coulson is confronting Rosalind Price, and they didn't exactly have a pleasant exchange. And it really makes you wonder, could Rosalind just be a pawn in all of this? Is she not actually loyal to any organization? Does she actually have clear motives? Possible. Doubt it. Highly doubt it. But possible. While Coulson is confronting Price, he's got multiple teams infiltrating the ACTU. Bobby and Lance are, or Mockingbird and Hunter, yeah, are on, you know, they're on the ground. Hunter's posing as a hacker, and Mockingbird, Bobby Morse, is a FBI liaison, and May's ex-husband, they used his containment cell to trigger an alarm at the ACTU, and Hunter and Morse were the response team that ended up coming in. And Hunter was posing as a hacker, but he types super slow and he's making a whole bunch of really bad jokes. And Sky is like feeding him word for word what to say just so that he won't get caught. But he types ridiculously slow. He's like hunting and pecking. And he's like saying what he's saying. You know, like he's actually repeating out loud as he's typing. It's goofy. It's really, really goofy. But then Agent Morse, I just don't know what to call her. I'm just going to keep calling her Mockingbird. And I'm going to really laugh if I'm screwing up her code name. No, it's Mockingbird. It's just, you know, talking into the microphone, broadcasting it live. You doubt what you're saying. I don't know. I do. Anywho, moving on. Mockingbird gets in a fight with an Inhuman within the ACTU, and it was wholly underwhelming. You know, when I see Mark DeCascos guest starring in a show, I'm thinking, great, I'm going to see major ass kicking. I mean, the dude was in Double Dragon. He's been in a whole bunch of other things, but when I think of him, I immediately think of Double Dragon, you know, with what's his name? Scott Wolf and Robert Patrick, you know, mid-90s movies based on a video game. And I always liked him. Whenever I see him, I get really excited because I know there's going to be a good fight scene coming up. And this one just left me underwhelmed. So, all right, whatever. Move on. One thing I did think was interesting was that May and Lincoln were paired up to provide aerial support in this raid on the ACTU. And May just wasn't talking to Lincoln for the longest time, and it was driving him nuts. And then all of a sudden, she starts opening up to him a little bit. And it's pretty uncharacteristic for her. But, you know, her ex-husband did kill all of Lincoln's friends and made multiple attempts on Lincoln's life, and the reasons for her opening up. It makes sense. It's just a little uncharacteristic, but I like this side of May that we are getting to see. Overall, all of the stories ended up intersecting by the end of the episode, and I quite enjoyed it. All right, let's move on to Arrow. Season 4, Episode 7, Brotherhood. Oh, I don't know any better way of putting it, but when I watched this, I had multiple geekgasms. I was hitting up my friends with Facebook Messenger videos. I think I sent 5 of them within just a couple of minutes because I could not believe some of the things I was seeing on screen last night. So let's jump into that. We got more of Oliver's backstory on Lian Yu, the island. And he has more conflicts with Conklin. And I just cannot get enough of Ryan Robbins. So I really hope that they keep stretching this part of the story out. And meanwhile, you know, in non-flashbacks, Felicity is urging Ray to reveal that he's no longer dead and to take over the company again because the stock price is plummeting and the return of Ray Palmer would it's what's best for the company. And Felicity is urging him to come back. But he's struggling with, you know, he was only presumed dead for a few months, and his entire legacy is crumbling, in his absence. And he's struggling with this because he set up the company so that it would be his legacy, that it would go on after his death. And a couple months later, everything's already falling apart. And he's not condemning Felicity. It's just the nature of everything that's going on in the city at the moment. So he's really struggling with it. And okay. All right. You know, he was already kind of an emo Superman. I can deal with an emo Adam for a couple episodes, but he's going to go off and be on the Legends of Tomorrow anyway, getting another Arrow spinoff. So I'm sure he will be on Arrow from time to time, but yeah, he's definitely going off to his own show. And all right, let's move on because I've got another point that I want to make a little bit later, so I might circle back to that one. But let's keep on yeah, stay on target. No, wrong franchise. All right, Team Arrow is taking on Damian Dark once again on multiple fronts. You know, Oliver's taking on Damian Dark in his mayoral candidacy, but Team Arrow is actually taking them on. And during one of their conflicts, Diggle is fighting with a ghost, and he knocks him over and unmasks him, and it turns out it's Diggle's brother, Andy. You know, Hive was supposed to have killed him, but there he is staring him in the face, and you know, he gets up and runs off, and Diggle is just an emotional wreck. He doesn't know, like, he basically just can't believe what he's just seen. And then later in the episode, a rescue operation was mounted because, you know, everyone on Team Arrow was saying, no, you have to give him the benefit of the doubt. And Diggle's struggling with, no, he left his wife. He left his kid. You know, he was dead. You know, there's no excuse. But, you know, Oliver had put Thea in the Lazarus pit, in order to, you know, save her life. And we saw what Dinah, no, she's not going by Dinah yet, what Laurel did to save Sarah, you know, really brought her back from the dead big time. She was dead for months before she went into the pit. So the rest of Team Arrow, they're just not seeing eye to eye with Diggle, and Diggle's ready to give up his faith in his brother because past history, you know, he found out, you know, his brother was involved in some shady illegal deals, all ready to give up on him. But nonetheless, Team Arrow mounts a rescue operation, and it gave us two very, very awesome fight scenes. Upon being discovered by the ghosts, Black Canary just starts kicking some major ass. It was a quick, brief fight scene, but I thoroughly enjoyed that one. But it was all a lead up to Speedy's showdown with Andy Diggle. And holy hell, they really stopped? No, they really stepped it up big time. Just Speedy fighting with Andy Diggle. It was this awesome one-take shot of a battle in a hallway leading into an elevator with the fight continuing on, in the elevator, and then you pop up on a second floor and continue down another hallway and ultimately end up leading up and into another room. And it all looked like one shot. When they finally went into the other room, it's okay, that's where they did the cut. All right. But going down the fighting in the hallway, going into the elevator and fighting in the elevator, arriving up on another floor and continuing down the hallway and making it just having all of that done in one shot. It reminded me so much of what was done on Daredevil on Netflix, Marvel's Daredevil. There was that epic fight scene in the second episode, and to get something of that caliber on broadcast television being carried out by a tiny little Thea Queen, Speedy, just this tiny little girl kicking this major ass in a single shot. It was awesome. I was bouncing up and down. I could not contain myself. I can't believe that was aired on broadcast television. This is the day that we live in, that we can get epic shots like that on broadcast TV. You don't even have to go to cable or to a subscription service that is just pouring everything into it to make the highest quality shows possible. They are, and bless them for doing that, because it's causing... It's raising the bar for everything else, and this episode of Arrow really, really stepped up to the plate big time, and they knocked it the hell out of the park. It was awesome. Definitely watch season 4, episode 7, Brotherhood. The last 10 minutes are absolutely exhilarating, and okay, what the hell? I'm getting a call? No, I'll pass. I'm geeking out over here. Who the hell is calling me at 10:30 at night? No. All right, so let's take a look at the composition of the core of Team Arrow. I mentioned Ray Palmer leaving the show earlier, because he's not a core member of Team Arrow. We're looking at Oliver Queen, the Green Arrow, John Diggle, Laura Lance, Black Canary, Felicity. She does like all the tech. She's rarely in the field, but sometimes. And then we've also got Thea Queen, Speedy. Three women, two men on the core team. Team Arrow has some serious girl power going on. And the two badass fights in this episode came from Black Canary and Speedy. Hell yeah. I love it. I absolutely love it. And I love how the episode ended with Oliver making his announcement. It really matched up with the version of Oliver Queen that I really enjoy. I really like where Arrow is going right now. Very, very enthusiastic for the future of this show. Absolutely, absolutely loved this episode. And that's all I got to say. for tonight, at least, because hey, I know I'm gonna go on Hulu right now. I'm gonna look to see if there's let's see, do I have any new shows? Oh, okay, well, Minority Report. I don't think that one's actually going to the Muppets. I'll pass on that. So, oh, hey, look, there's the Goldbergs. So I'm definitely going to go watch the Goldbergs. That's another one I really, really enjoy. But yeah, that's all I've got for you tonight. So once again, I am Miranda Janelle, at Miranda Janelle on Twitter. The show's Twitter account is Getting Geeky MJ. There's a Facebook page, facebook.com/gettinggeeky. And everything is posted over at take37.com. The site is still in the process of being developed, but you can go through the third show listed is Getting Geeky. Just click on there. You can see all of the episodes available. And there is an RSS feed available right now. I'm working on getting it into iTunes and the other podcast directories as well. Everything's in progress at the moment. We're doing a lot of work over it at Take 37. Starting to release a lot more content. We got some more comics coming. Sud Sunday is going to be going out soon, I hope, I think. and as always, we've got Midnight Movie Nights. So yeah, definitely check us out over at take37.com. And well, hey, that's going to do it for tonight. So thanks for joining me.